Let's pray for this time where Taylor's going to be sharing with us. Father, we ask for a spirit of wisdom to be given to Taylor as she speaks to us. Insight, knowledge, wisdom from your word, of your ways, of your character, of your grace, who you are, God. I ask that your presence would be upon her in such a manner that she smells like Jesus, and that those who love Jesus would find her words like honey. And I'm asking, God, for us, for a spirit of understanding, that we would have a hungry heart that wants to know more about our Jesus. I ask for a spirit of understanding that as she's hitting balls out of the outfield, we would run and we would eagerly catch them all and say, aha, yes, I want to grow. I want to thrive in you, Lord. I'm hungry. I want to receive from you this morning. We pray these things that your son would be lifted up. Let your son's name, Jesus, be lifted up. Let Jesus be lifted up, Father. And as he's lifted up, Father, get glory for yourself. And all God's people said, all right, why don't you give her a hearty welcome.
I was going to tell him not to do that, but I didn't have the microphone in time. Just a short little introduction. The pants from Thailand. I feel like in America, you have to have some sort of excuse to wear this out in public. So I've been looking for the excuse, and I figured today was kind of the only one I was going to get in the near future. So, Thailand pants. Tim asked me to do this while I was in Thailand. I got an email from him, and I was like, oh, no. Rachel spoke the week before I left, and I was like, I was telling people, if Tim asked me, there's no way I'm getting up there and speaking. But just goes to show, God will not be put into a box. I found that out in several ways, but this being the most evident today. I have notes here. Bullet points, so hopefully I'm not going to be glued. Tim asked me to share several things, some things I learned about God, some notable experiences of my trip, and how that can apply to you guys. So I'm hoping everything I say will fit into one of those categories. I can't promise that the flow is going to be on point, but we'll try. I left in September for YWAM in Arvada, Colorado, really close to Denver, Colorado. The lecture phase was like 11 weeks, and I was trying to prepare myself to be like a sponge so I could just soak everything up. And they said one of the first weeks that we got there that DTS lecture phase is like 7 years of church packed into those 11 or 12 weeks. So there would just be days I would finish class and not know what to do with myself. I'm like, my brain hurts so much. Like, what am I supposed to do with all of this? So I started, when I got home, I journaled and took notes like crazy, more than I ever did in school, ever. And I've been reading over the notes as I've been home and just being like, when did they say that? Like, what? Because during the weeks, I would have to focus on a couple of things. And that's all, I knew that was all that I could handle at that time. I was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to understand and actually take everything out of what they give you. But it was just crazy. So I feel the first week of DTS, I guess it would be the second week. It was the character and nature of God. And I feel the things that they shared, that our teacher shared during that week, I feel like all the following weeks and the weeks that I spent in Thailand were kind of expanding on that just more and more. We actually, one Yeah. This, our first teacher, he had us, he brought a ball and chain into class. And we're all like, oh no, what is he doing? We all had to wear the ball and chain around. And like, we're in the mountains. And first of all, Denver is the Mile High City. And so the altitude from here to there, like, I spent the first month out of breath. Like, I would walk up the stairs and just, I'm like, I didn't think I was this out of shape, but like, my lungs would just hurt. And so like, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that and ball and chain. We had to wear the ball and chain. We had to pass it around so everybody got a chance to wear it. And by the time I wore it, they had shortened the time. And I got it during a meeting. So I sat there with a ball and chain. And I still, it was crazy how it still like drove his point home. The point of like, we come with all the baggage and like, oh, it's not really a big deal. Like, let me just lengthen the chain. I felt like that had kind of what I'd been doing before I went to YWAM, if that makes sense. I've been like, well, I have little issues, but I mean, let me add some links onto that chain and I'm fine. Like, I'm okay with walking around. And God showed me through this experience that he's not asking us to leave the chain and put links on so we can walk around easier. He's asking us to let him give us the key so we can take that off and walk freely. And it's 10 times easier. Another thing I learned was that he desires intimacy with us. Before I went, I felt like I was kind of comparing my walk with others. And I was like, they have a really good walk. Like, you know, there's some people that you just think of and it's like, they have it all together. Like, God really speaks to them. And I'm like, I kind of felt like it was more of a, I viewed it as more of a duty than something, the relationship that God was wanting to give to me. God told me over and over again, Taylor, I like that your relationship with me is unique. I'm not asking you to be like so-and-so. I'm asking you to give me what you have and let me use that to you, for you, uniquely. The speakers and the staff members there just reminded us over and over again, you're going to get out of this experience whatever you're willing to put in. And I kind of had shielded myself a little bit beforehand. I'm like, well, you know, we have one-on-one times with a small group leader. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be awkward. Like, we're not going to know anything. Like, I'm going to sit there. Like, I'm not telling you anything. Like, it was like week one. I'm in front of this woman bawling my eyes out. Like, I've never been before, like, telling her everything about my life. And I'm just like, this is the freedom that God has been longing to give to me. But I have bottled it up inside of me for years that I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. And so I guess there's not really anything to do. And God showed me, Taylor, I've been longing to give this to you. I want your relationship with me to be a two-way street. When beforehand I would like pray, and my prayer life was more of just, let me list off what I need. And once I prayed, like, good to go. And God was showing me, like, you wonder why you're not hearing from me like other people seem to be. You're not giving me time to speak. You're not listening in your prayer. And he showed me that that is a part of what we need to do in our prayer life. And that took a while for me to understand, because when I sit down or walk around or whatever I'm doing, my mind is just kind of like, it's not that I'm thinking about lots of things. I'm just, my mind is just going. And for me to learn how to quiet my heart and my mind in order to be able to hear from God and hear what he wants from me, that took several weeks, but it was just crazy. Another thing was in the Bible, it says over and over again, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. And that didn't really make sense to me. I mean, it made sense, but through the prayer time and the lessons that I learned on prayer, that just kind of, that idea was able to be driven home for me. I feel like if you're asking God and you're seeking Him, He's giving you what you need. And He will supply the strength that you need. If you're asking and if you're actually allowing him time to speak to you. I was listening to a Bill Johnson podcast on my way home from Tennessee or something, I don't remember. But he said, God will always give you the measure of His presence that you will jealously guard. And I feel like before I was kind of half-heartedly going after Him, and I think it was because I wasn't respecting, I don't know if that's the right word, respecting my relationship with Him, that I felt like I wasn't really getting out. I wasn't really being filled up with what everyone else seemed to be being filled up with. And God was like, Taylor, if you want this, I know your heart and I'll give it to you. But you have to want it. Another thing I learned about God is that He is a God of pursuit. I kind of unknowingly, when I thought about this, I had kind of pictured myself on a treadmill. And you think you're running after God really hard. And it's like, why am I not getting any closer? Like, but you're running on a treadmill. Like, you're going to stay in the same spot. And I felt like I was doing all of the work, running really hard, and God was kind of just staying out where, you know, in front of the treadmill, a long ways away. And he told me over and over again, Taylor, you think you're chasing after me? I'm running 10 times harder at you, and there is no treadmill. In Psalms 139, it says throughout there, you hem me in, you search me and know me, you are acquainted with all my ways, you formed me, you intricately wove me. And then in Hebrews 7:25, it says, He lives to make intercession for us. A Song of Solomon's, in chapter 8, it says, For love is strong as death, jealously as fierce as the grave. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. That sounds to me, all of those verses, like He cares about us quite a lot. I knew that, but for some reason I wasn't able to fully grasp that sort of love that someone has for you. They know everything. They know your thoughts. And they're still like, I really like this person. Even when I'm, you know, they're frustrating me, I'm going to love the crap out of them anyway. I don't know. Sorry. I was in Thailand. I was reading Crazy Love, and I kind of, everybody had been reading the book, and I'm like, I'm not reading it because everybody else is reading it, and it's like such a good book, but I'm like, no. Anyway, so I was reading it in Thailand, and I can't remember where in the book or what chapter, but it was saying something about how God's love for us is the only thing that can't be exaggerated. And if you know me at all, I exaggerate everything. And so I was reading this book, and I was like, what? It's like, it's true, though. You can exaggerate everything else in the whole world. Like, everything for me is like $5,000. oh, I wish I could get that shirt, but it's like $5,000, so no, I can't get it. But I'm like, you could go on and on and on about God's love, and all of it would be true. You would be on point the entire time. I don't remember what hymn it is, but something about the ink can fill the ocean. If you were writing about God's love, that's not the right wording, but there you go. The love of God, that song. I'm not singing it, but that's the only... That's really, like, ink. If all the water in the ocean was ink, and you were to write only about God's love, you would soak up all that ink, and the ocean would be dry in no time. When we split up into teams, part of my DTS went to Thailand. There were 20 of us, including our leaders. And then there was other groups that went to Brazil and another group that went to the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And when we split up into groups, we had 5 boys, 6 counting my leader, and 14 girls. And I was like, I loved everyone on my team, don't get me wrong. But the difference between the teams was so great and so obvious that I was like, we're not going to get anything accomplished in Thailand. All of the other vocal leaders, as far as like males go, they were all on the other team, and they kind of like, we all were like, oh, like the boys on our team, I felt like a mother to them. Just side note, seriously, out of control. And I was apparently the only one who could be like, you got to get your act together, and the leaders let me do that. But I was like, our group, we're all a little bit more, let me show you the love of God instead of talking to you about, like, does that make sense? Instead of talking about it, we're just like, let us find something to do for you guys, and like, we'll show you. But none of us were really like trying to speak. And so I'm like, we're getting nothing accomplished. And God, little by little, before we left for Thailand, and then in Thailand, it just hit me hard. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And then in 1 John 2, 6, it says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And God told me before we left for Thailand and in Thailand, he's like, Taylor, I'm not asking much of you. I'm asking you to go and love on these people. They will see me more than words you could ever say. And I was like, shoo, good. So we went to Thailand for 5 weeks. And the first thing we did, we went to a village in the mountains. We drove 2 hours on the back of trucks on the highway, and then 2 hours up the mountain with potholes, just huge, but like human-sized potholes, just huge. And by the time we got there, we were sleeping in tents when we got to the village. I'm like, that's going to be cake compared to the way our bodies are feeling right now. Like, we were hurting so bad by the time we got up that mountain. But the people, I can't even begin to explain the people in this village. They had the biggest servant's heart I've ever seen, ever. And they had nothing. They had Wi-Fi, though. Mike, my sister's husband, like, commented on Facebook something. He's like, Taylor, you're on Facebook more now than you were the whole time in Colorado, and what you're usually on when you're home in Delaware. I'm like, Yeah. I'm like, I have nothing. It was solar powered. So on cloudy days, we couldn't get on the internet. But it was just, I was like, how do these people, I don't think they, like, they didn't have computers and stuff. So I'm, well, they did have one. They did have one, because we, like, were right next to the school, and there was a computer I saw, but I was like, Wi-Fi? Anyway, these people loved each other more than I've ever seen. They would, they put up with each other, which was crazy. We were sleeping in tents, and like 5 o'clock in the morning, the radio would come on. And we were right next to the little shack, which was like the broadcaster, whatever. And they knew one American, like, English song. And so we knew that song by the end of the trip. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, radio starts. Roosters start. I'm like, we're working all day and it's hot. And I'm like, I really need my sleep. Because by 7 o'clock at night, we're all like, I think we're going to go to bed. And our leader was like, guys, we're only here for like 10 days. Like, just stick it out, you know, give it everything you have while you're here. I'm like, we'll work harder tomorrow if we get to bed right now. So usually by like 8 or 8:30, he'd be like, okay, go to bed. But these people, like the kids there, 5:30 in the morning, they were up doing chores before they went to school. And we got up, if you were on breakfast crew, you were like 6 o'clock you had to get up. They were over with us by 6:30, like, can we wash some dishes for you guys? Like, can we help you with breakfast? Like, what do you guys need? Except in Thai. And so we didn't really understand, but when they came, like, we understand what that meant. But they were just like, what can we do? And we did a lot of work projects while we were there. And by the end of the trip, we're like, have we really accomplished anything? Like, are we really doing anything for these people, like, of lasting value? And by the end, by the end of the trip, like, you knew that, like, we had touched their hearts. We were doing an art for the nations. We took bags of, like, arts and crafts stuff and was doing that one day with the kids. And my favorite little boy, I can't even say his name. I'm going to try. Wah-rah-woo. It's tonal language. I asked him, like, every day, like, just tell me his name. And he, you know, said it real fast. And I'm just like, wah-rah-woo. And he would laugh at me and be like, like, that's close enough, like, whatever. We were doing Art for the Nations, and they had these headbands that they were making. And he wanted me to write something on his headband, so me and my friend were writing on his, and we're like, you're cool, like, whatever. And we gave it back to him, and he comes back a couple minutes later, and it says, I love, and has a blank. And he wanted us to put our names in it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I'm not going to be able to leave these kids. There's no way. But, oh, favorite kids in the whole world. They're so good. The next place we went to a orphanage in another town. And we did lots of English camps there. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not a teacher. And so we played like hangman and stuff with them, depending on which station you were in. But I'm like, I'm not an English teacher. And the house that we stayed at was a little bit stressful, the orphanage that we were at. And by this time, it was hot, like, kind of all through the night. And we slept, like, in this treehouse thing. And I'm like, God, right about now, I'm going to need all the strength that you can muster up for me. I was so stressed out at this time. We spent a day cleaning the house. I had a little bit of a panic attack. I'm like, if my parents saw this house. Oh, I was like, I would not even want to be like in Thailand when they did. Like, it was so bad. But, and the kids were here were a little more rowdy than the ones in the village and not as helpful. But They did try. But I was just amazed at the way God gave me the strength that I asked for. I was reminded of, I think it's in Luke 8, of the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment and is healed from 12 years of bleeding. If she had been suffering with something else, that would have been healed. And to me, I was like, always like, yeah, that's a really cool story. But like, if you're touching the hem of someone's garment, and individually, if like five people touched it at the same time with that much faith, every single one of those five people was going to be filled with whatever they needed. And God just spoke that over and over and over again. Ask and you will receive, Taylor. And so I got through the house and the English camps, and the team did a wonderful job. Even when some of us were like at the end of our rope, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm ready for American food. God just poured out himself on us. It was just crazy. The last place that we went to was this ministry called the Abba House. It was for girls who were at risk of prostitution and men who had come out of prostitution. So there was like seven to 10 men from ages like 18 to 32 that had come out. And then girls that were like middle school, high school age in this, at this place. And we did more English camps at this place. We stayed there, and like part of us would stay home and stay at the organization and have like Bible studies with these men. And I was just blown away by the way these men got in, like, into it. They were saying stuff, and I was just like, so good. Like, how are they like so wise? I'm like, how could you go through all of that and come out this like full of joy and teaching us about God's word? I'm like, so good. We were supposed to spend like an hour of Bible study, an hour of like singing or some sort of music lesson, and nobody in my group, we're like, none of us are like musically inclined. Like, I used to play the piano. I can't really play any other, like, I can't play other instruments. Recorder, maybe. But I was like, we're going to have an hour of, like, really, really, like, so, what do you guys want to do? And it ended up, they were practicing for this little show, so we actually didn't have to do it. But we listened to I Surrender All, and I wrote up the words in English. And whenever the chorus would come, they would sing their hearts out in their broken English, the words to this. And every time you're just like pointing to the words like, oh my goodness, this is so, so precious. I was just like, I just don't understand. But it was so cool. And the, I did that Friday, second to last day that we were there. But, we had been doing English camps in the week, like earlier on in the week. I'm like, we're not, you think, you know, I'm going to Thailand, like, let's see how many people we can save. Like, and we get there and we're like, we haven't really like even talked about it with these people. And I was like, God, like, am I doing anything? And I remember one night we were having like a Wednesday night service with the people here, and God like sat me down. Sit down, Taylor. I'm like, okay. So I sat down and I started like writing. I'm just writing, writing, writing. And by the end, like, I finished the letter and I was like, I read over and I was like, God just gave me a letter. Over and over, he like spoke my name, and I was like, okay. And I still read I read over the letter, and it's like, Taylor, you're doing what I asked you to do. All I asked from you was to walk in love. These people see that. They see what your team is doing, even if you all aren't vocally just shouting it from the rooftops. They see it in your actions. And he's like, just continue to love. I'm like, okay. The next, I think it was 2 days later, we had an opportunity to go do a bar ministry in town. And I was like, I don't think I want to go. I was like, I don't really know, like, what to expect. I'm like, that just doesn't sound like something I want to do. And God was like, Taylor, I asked you to come here in love. I want you to go. And I was like, so we got in the back of this truck, and we were riding into town, and it was seven of us girls and one of our leaders and then our translator. And we were like, we don't really know what to expect. And my one leader had been to Thailand before, and she said, we did this, and we basically just played games with the girls in the bars. They had just set up, and they speak really good English. So, like, you'll be fine. Like, this, like, just go and tell them that they're beautiful. Like, just speak words of life over them. I was like, okay. So we're, like, walking the street, and there's, like, bar after bar after bar after bar. And, like, these, I prayed, side note, I prayed before I went. I was like, I feel like I'm going to have a really hard time with these men who are here. I'm like, I don't want to be angry. And God was like, I want you. He's like, I'll give you my eyes. So I was like, I can do that. So I'm walking along, and I'm like, genuinely, like, sad. Like, I'm seeing these men all around, these white men all around. And I'm just like, expecting to be just so angry with them. I was just filled with sorrow and, like, how lost are they? Like, they're doing this because they don't know what they could have. And so they're trying to take that upon themselves and try to fill those gaps by their own strength. And so anyway, we split up into groups, and I was with a group of me and two other girls, both younger than I was, and I were walking along, and we had, like, decided that we were going to be the ones to, like, go into the bars and talk to the prostitutes in there. And we're walking along, and I think we were losing a little bit of courage. We're like, I was like, oh no, like, I'm not going in there. I cannot go in there. And I was like, God, you know my heart. I came because you told me to. If you want me in there, I need you to grab us and pull us in. 3 seconds later, this girl reached out and grabbed the arm of the other girl who was in my group and started talking to her. And I was like, oh no. Like, she's talking, and she's like, just asking us her questions. And she's like, how about you guys come in and have a drink? So we're like, okay. So we go in there. We had Coke. We go in there, and she gets us Cokes with bendy straws. So I'm sitting in this really little bar, like, it's longer than it is wide, and where I'm like, with my bendy straw, I'm like, I feel like I'm 5 years old. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, And I cannot even tell you guys the presence that I felt in that time. God's presence was 10 times stronger than I've ever experienced in my whole life. I would have, like, fallen flat out on my face if God had not been there holding me in that seat. We were able to, her name was JJ. She would come over and talk to us, and we'd ask her about our life, you know, ask her about our family. And then she would, like, go out back outside and, like, try to get more people to come in and then come back up to us. And there was another girl that stood out to me while we were in there. She was over with this man, just doing things that you should not see. And I'm like, oh, dear God. She would come back. She would be over with him on this couch, and she would come back, and we were sitting, there was a mirror behind us. And she would come back and just, look in the mirror and, fix her hair, and, you could tell, she was just, so empty. I was like, oh, my gosh. What do I do with that? And then she would go back and just be with him, and we're like, oh, Jesus. There was a woman in the back of the bar, this older woman. This older couple was in there. I'm like, what are you doing here? And she laughed at us the entire time we were in there, me and these other two girls. And we walked out, and we were like, I don't mean this. With the most respect to this woman, that was Satan in the corner of the bar laughing at us, mocking us the entire time. She was just sitting there laughing at us. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do. And we just told her over and over again how beautiful she was. We asked her questions about her life and her family, and then we left. And we walked out of the bar, and we kind of were all just kind of numb. I was like, oh. It was like a half hour till we were supposed to meet with our group. I'm like, I have nothing. I'm not going in there again. There's no way. And then we met up with the second group, and they were like, one of the girls, they had been doing a prayer walk. They're like, I really feel like I'm supposed to go in. Will one of you trade with me? I'm like, y'all, I'll do it. And we're all three yeah, you can trade with me. Sure. And anyway, so she traded with this other girl. And so we're like, my God, you're going to have to do it again. So we're walking down, and we ended up just sitting. This girl started talking to us, and we ended up just sitting on the picnic table outside. And she was telling us about her son, who she hadn't seen in 9 months. And it's his birthday soon, so she's getting him a bike. And she was just so excited, and I was just like, how is this happening? I don't know how we finished that. We met back, and we drove home, and all of us just sat there, silent. Then, of course, we had to have a debrief meeting afterwards. And I'm like, I'm not feeling this. We all just kind of sat there, and little by little, we just all started, sobbing. And we're like, my God, I'm never going to be able to laugh again. Everything in life, there's no joy. I was like, none. Tell me all you want, but how is this joyful at all when I know what's happening? And God just, I just can't even tell you. I was, the hope that he showed me, the love that he showed me that he has for these girls and these men even, I was just blown away. Blown away. And I was just, it was really, really something. So we went back, and we had the people who went to the bar ministry, we had a day of we got a day off because we were supposed to go have a little program or whatever. And we're like, the ones of you who went, you need to stay home. So we're like, okay. So we stayed back and had debriefing, and we actually Skyped one of our school leaders. And I'm sitting there, and there's a knock on the door, and it's my school leader, and he's like, can I talk to Erica, my other school, the other assistant leader? I'm like, yeah. So I go get her. She was sick or something. So she goes out, and I'm sitting there on the floor, like, just having a quiet time. And this man walks in the room, and I'm like, what? Anyway, coolest thing ever. Changed the, I don't know what. But it was our first contact from the village. Had traveled 16 hours to come visit us for our last weekend there. This man, Lon is his name, he what used to be a pastor and a missionary in several different places, and for some reason, he decided that he wasn't going to follow blindly. And so he has kind of turned from that and doesn't really claim to be walking in any sort of Christian life. I've never seen kingdom being lived through a man more than this guy. He came and just kind of hung out with us for the last weekend there. I'm saying this to say, if you think about it, Lon Dixon needs your prayers. Over and over again, we'd be in the village working. He's like, okay, I'm going to switch to pastor mode real fast and like say some words of encouragement. And then he's like, psh, spiritual stuff. And then we're like, okay. I was like, we never knew really how to take him. And we like were told not to ask. We're like, okay. Anyway, that just, again, just reaffirmed the difference that our actions, the effect that our actions can have on other people. The thing that I would say, if you guys could take anything out of this, hold on, I'm going to read Luke 7. It's the sinful woman forgiven. Luke 7:36-47. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair on her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this was who was touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. The biggest lesson I would say that I learned from all of this is I kind of viewed myself as Simon for the longest time. I was like, I'm not that bad. I'm worthy. And God spoke to me one day. I was actually at a church in the church I went to in Denver, and he was like, you're the woman. And I was like, what? I feel like in the story, the woman realizes how deep God's love for her is despite of where she's been, and is overwhelmed with love and appreciation for him. I feel like me, at least, I wasn't living like I was aware of what I had been saved from. I felt like I was minimizing the cross and what that stands for and what happened on the cross. Now I would say I don't fully understand, but I understand better what was done for me right there. And because of that understanding, I feel like I can't live the same. How could you know all that has been done for you and not be at his feet weeping, wiping Jesus' feet with your hair, washing them with your tears? I feel like Jesus shows me over and over again, look at the way I love you. That's how I want you to love your brothers and sisters. Both your Christian brothers and sisters and those who aren't. In John 13:34, let me read this real fast. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I feel like in Thailand we had a big language barrier. So people were watching us. And I come back to America and I'm like, people can understand what I'm saying? Like, that's weird. Like, all of a sudden now I have to watch what I say. But I feel like the language barrier that we face now in America is those who know God and those who don't. They're watching what we say. They're listening. They're watching how we treat each other. Even probably more than those in Thailand, because they couldn't hear what we were saying to each other. We gave each other so much. We were mean to each other sometimes, just because you get so close to people that you're like, all right, I need you to go away for like an hour. I do not want to, like, I cannot be with you. And like, it's a good thing they couldn't hear that, but like, I feel like that's probably the biggest lesson that I learned was I have to be Jesus to people. I have to walk in the love that God walked in for me. And because of that, that's totally changed how you can walk through everyday life. If you picture yourself as Simon, as, you know, I've never done anything really that bad. You walk one way. And then if you see yourself, because there's not a sin scale. You sin. We all sin. We're the woman. And throughout the whole trip, God used the sermon that I heard in Colorado of, you got to stop minimizing the cross. Stop minimizing what I've done for you. Walk in love, even when you don't feel like it. So yeah, that's basically all I have.
It matches. Yeah, your pants in your Bible? She has actually 15 Bibles coordinating all her various pants. What do you think? I'm going to ask that as we go into our prayer time, those of you who, while Taylor was speaking, your hearts were strangely warmed. You were saying, I want in on that. That as we go into our prayer time, Taylor's going to be over here by the cross. And just go ahead and form a line if you say, I want in on what she's talking about. I want each of you that's feeling that way to have Taylor actually just lay her hand on you and bless that. And before that, I'm going to pray for Taylor. I oftentimes will do this, that when people come and minister to us, I'll try to fill them back up somehow after service. I don't normally do it in your hearing, but I want to do it in your hearing today. So will you pray with me for Taylor? Lord, bless her. Bless her. It's so evident, God, that you've given her a clear theme of this season, and that's walk in love. Be love. Receive my love. Live in my love. Express my love. It's all about love. And Lord, we bless that word on her. And I ask that you would continue to fill her with your love. Continue to let her be the recipient of your love. That you don't regard us according to our iniquities. If you did, who could stand? And that's why you're feared. That's why so many of us say how great you are. Lord, we say we are that woman who's been forgiven much. And that's why we love much. Don't let us lose sight of it, Father. Don't let us turn this thing into a religion. Don't let us turn this thing into what we can make for you, God. Let us stay in the posture of your daughters and sons who are holy and dearly loved, and that has nothing to do with our performance. That's what inspires our performance. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just right over there by the cross.
Taylor was downright wonderful. And there's a real long word today from the Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come. That's it, come. If you don't know Jesus, come. If you're adding chains, so your chain is longer, or you're still shackled, come. It's time to get free of that stuff and time to walk like Christians. So if we're supposed to, if we're called to something, let's get up here and come. And remember the lady that came to Jesus. She came to Jesus. She heard that call. Man gives you a list of things. Do this, don't do that. Do this, do this, do more. Don't do that, don't do that. Don't. Jesus says, come. That's simple. Come. Please stand. Come up for prayer, please. All of us need prayer. Please come.
Is it on? Guys, I don't even want to do this. And Taylor, I have to apologize to you because I need to get your tape because I heard nothing you said. Because I've been arguing with God the whole entire time until the end when you talked about love. And I have the opportunity at the radio station that I work for to be on the air. I'm going to start on Saturdays being on the air. And I'm very excited about it. And I consider it just a blessing that the Lord would even do this. I mean, I'm 50 and I get to do something so different and new. And excited. And I've been thinking about it all week that I wanted my church to pray for me. Give me a second. And I've been arguing and fighting because I feel like there's division and there's things that are happening and there's hurts and there's offenses. And I thought, I don't want to get up here and say this and ask for prayer from my church, because what if they don't want to pray for me? Or what if they don't want to bless me in this? And I thought, you know what? Oh my gosh, I know I'm shaking. I'm so upset. I really didn't want to do this, but I have to. And God said, you need to go forward and you need to say to my church family, I need you, and you need me, and I love you, and I know you love me, but I really need you to bless me in this, not because I want to be famous or say funny things on the radio, but because you love me, and I'm part of your body, and I'm part of the body of Christ. So I'm saying, I need you. And that I love you, and I want you to need me back, and I want you to love me back, and I want you to pray for me, and I want you to support me, because I love and support you all. So that's it.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way, the sin that promised.